thy faithfulness.
Amen. Oh. Amen. Amen. He is faithful. Maybe you are not and I'm not, but he is faithful. My words will fail, but he's faithful. You know, whatever he promised you, he will do. Amen. We love him because, you know, he saved us. He forgave us. He cleaned us up. And he set our feet on that rock to stay forever and fill us with his Holy Ghost. I mean, I don't know why he loved me that much. Nobody else did. I didn't care much neither. But I'm glad that somebody cared. I don't understand why, but I'm glad that he loved me. I was starving for love at one time. And if you're honest enough, we all were there somehow, at some degree. We want someone to love like he would love today. And no human being, your husband, your best friend, your BFFI, whatever, or your wifey or whatever, you can find love in the wrong places. I hope it's not too late you realize it's the wrong places, but there's just one place you can find this perfect love. And I'm glad that he found us. Because we were not looking for that kind of a love. We were looking, but I didn't know that that existed until he found me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We are so glad, Lord, that we had this other opportunity in this sad time, Father. If we're still here, it's because we still have something that we need to learn, something that you need to do, something, Father, that is still left. Father, we're not here because you're just waiting for something. No, there's no chance nothing random. This is your plan, and your plan is going according to your purpose. And we are here because there's still things that we can do, things that you are doing through us, for us, shaping us, molding us. So as long as we're here, we must work. As long as we're here, we need to have the understanding of what he wants us to do and let him do it through us. So when the last one is called in and filled with the Spirit, we can all live at the same time, Father. In the meantime, here we are, we're reporting for duty. We are here, your children are here this morning. Father, we are looking unto you. Feed us. Give us what we have need of. Do you know that? So, Father, we are trusting in you. I know you're faithful enough that you will not disappoint us this morning. I might, but you will not disappoint me. In Jesus' name, we're expecting it, Lord, that you will come and show yourself in this word, Father, and come and walk among us and give us the bread of life that we have need of. We are thirsty, and give us the water of life that we have need of in order to grow. Nourish us this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And thank you, musicians. Amen. Okay, that's long enough. You can stand again. I forgot to read the scriptures. Just a quick one. James 1:5. Chapter 1, verse 5. We're here trying to encourage you. Not only encourage you, to equip you. We're here to energize you, invigorate you, you know. So when you go out, you know, you can take all these, and by the understanding of the word this morning in your heart, you can go and live the kind of life that God wants you to live, such as Jesus lived that same life. We can do it too. But this morning, we're going to try our best to get out of the way. That's my job. And let God do the rest. If God promised, he will do it. If I get out of the way, he promised he will do it. And I'm expecting him to do it. If any of you lack wisdom, that will be our subject this morning. He says, let him ask of God, what if it was not needed If it's just an option, then why he said ask for something? If you ask for something, it's because we need it. The Bible said knock and ask. You know, and wait patiently, because Paul now introduces the thought. Ask. That giveth to all men liberally. It's free. To anyone that will ask. Just for the asking. Wisdom is yours this morning. Of course, the wisdom that we're talking about is the wisdom to please and do what God wants you to do. That's the only wisdom that I know, is to serve God and do what He wants you to do this morning. So if you're still kind of up and down, ask for wisdom what to do this morning with what you hear and everything that you had to, choices that you had to make, judgment, you're going to need wisdom. And upbraid not. He's not going to rebuke you. What's wrong with you? You don't suck it up. Why can't you be like me? He's not going to rebuke you if you ask for faith. I mean, for wisdom. Ain't that something? He's not going to say, you know, how many times, I mean, man so little faith. How many times am I going to have to deal with you? No, he says, ask. I won't be bothered about you asking. Just ask me. And I won't even... Don't worry about it. You know, sometimes as children, we don't want to talk to our father because we fear what's going to happen next. Because we're going to get a speech. He said, don't worry. There's no speech. What you want, I give it to you freely. How much you want? Abundantly. There's no end to it. So that means there's no end to it. It's progressive all the way from here until. And it shall be given. Oh, wow. That's all, just for the asking. Don't worry about it. He's still going to have an attitude. Father might have an attitude. You know, you're an early father, but not him. I used to ask my father for money when I wanted to go out. You know, I didn't have a job. I'm just a youngster. I wanted to go out with the school friends. And man, but every time I asked, I had to hear this long preaching about money do not grow in trees. And how hard... Okay. I knew it was coming, so I just stand there and suffer. Because I needed the money, but I would run away. So, but you don't have to worry about that. You know, you're laughing because you know it's true. It happens to you. Oh, worse than that, let me ask that for my car, for his car, so I can go out. That was monumental. I had to sit there and hear the whole preaching sermons. About, you know, things like, anyway. So, if you need wisdom, ask. Because God is generous. He will give it to you abundantly. And He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So ask, because you're going to need it. This morning I'm going to show you, it's not optional. You're going to need the wisdom of God. You can see it now. Thank you. So, what is wisdom? The wisdom that I'm talking about this morning is not the worldly wisdom. Let's establish that. Because there's only two kinds of wisdom. Satan wisdom or God wisdom. That's it. You either have one or you have the other one. But you cannot mix them up. You can serve God or mammon, but you cannot do both. So you have to make your mind this morning which way you want to go. You got up this morning, you got to make a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to follow? When, how, and where? That is your choice. Now, I give you the right choices, but you got to choose. God will give you the right choices. He will lay out options for you. There's only two options, actually, when you get up in the morning. I'm going to serve God, or I do what I can. No, I do what I can. We do it. How? That's the reason. That's the only difference. This only one difference between wisdom of God and the wisdom of Satan. Satan has reasoning. The wisdom of the world, you have to reason, apply logic, on what you know, the information you get, the Spirit says you go through, and then you can juggle all that around best way you can, and you can make a decision based on all that. But I got news for you. It's not going to work. Because the best you can do is still, you know, foolishness. The wisdom of man is foolishness. So whatever you can amount to or mush around and mix it up. Listen, you say, but I got experience when 20 years ago, okay, and I did this, and I learned from that. That's good. Learn from your mistakes. That's wisdom. But I tell you why, you come today and you try to do the same thing, it will not work. You know why? Because you and I are not perfect. Now, I can rely on God's word because it's perfect. The moment he said it, it's good for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I can use that. It worked yesterday. It will work today. You and I cannot even muster to think, well, you can do this. You know, I did that and it worked, you know, 20 years ago. How do you know it's going to work today? You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. It's not going to work. And then you have to look at the circumstances. Change. Life is complex. Life is difficult. What you did yesterday, life has changed completely today. The only way you can have that same result yesterday is that everything that happened the same way, the same atmosphere, the same situation, everything is the same, exactly the same. It won't be because man changed. Things change. That's the only thing that is stable. Changes. There's no way you can make the same decision today and have the same result. Crazy. So, the only other option that we have is the wisdom of God that is based on a perfect word spoken that never, never changes. Man might change, the word might change, his word do not change. It's no variation. So I can lay my life on that thing, on that word. Because I know that every decision that I make, according to the word of God, it will come to pass. According to his will, not mine, his will. So, we get that established. It's the wisdom of God this morning. Paul says, you know, I came to you not with the wisdom of men, teaching you. Wisdom of men. Why? I came to you in the power of the Holy Ghost. So your faith will not be founded on man's teaching. That will fail you. That's sin. And sooner or later, when the storm of life come and the trials and the temptation, what's going to happen to that wisdom of man? You will drown. Sinking sand. I came, Paul said, in the power and demonstration. That's and. You have to have both. You cannot have a word and have no experience in it. We'll talk about that later. You have to have both. You cannot counsel me by just a book you read. You have never lived it. How can you have wisdom enough to tell me that? Just tell me, you know, I read the book, yeah, read it, but see what you can get out of it. It's better to do that. Because you cannot get wisdom out of textbooks. That would not get you any further than anything else. In fact, you're just spinning your wheel. I don't care how many textbooks you read. I don't care how much knowledge you get. You can memorize the Bible, memorize the message. You can quote the message. And that will not make you wise. Maybe make you a wise guy, but not wise. This morning, talking to you, I don't care who talks to you. That don't make you wiser neither. That don't even give you wisdom. Because the only wisdom that comes, it comes from God. I cannot impart you wisdom. I can tell you what wisdom is, and he needs to take out the rest. So wisdom comes. Now, wisdom is taking the knowledge, taking all that stuff. Those, you can read that book. I'm not saying that to read. Brother Branham read. You can read. You can have knowledge. you know, out of whatever you want to, I mean, you at your fingertip today, the internet, you can have all the knowledge in the world at your fingertip. You know, not only that, but you can have all the info from any other sources. But I tell you what, if you don't know what to do with that, what else is going to happen? That's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom can take all that and give you an understanding what all this means. And you take wisdom, wisdom will tell you this is the understanding, so you can make a choice. And you make a choice based on the understanding of all these things. And then not only make a choice, so a choice that is beneficial to you and to everybody else. We make choices every day. Every day. And it's going to affect you somehow, good, bad, indifferent. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your workers. Anybody that is around you will be affected. I don't care, directly or indirectly. You are not an island unto yourself. You throw a rock in the pool and it's going to ripple. And the least expected, you know, it will change. Everything that you speak, the power, you know, of the words in the tongue. And you can, you know, a little tongue, you know, James says, it's like a big ship, a boat, a huge cruiser with this little, you know, in the bottom is a little thing that tells them which way to go. And it's a guy right there that goes like this, and these things go, and the whole boat, massive thing goes, yeah. See, and the tongue can, in the words, their life. Every word that you speak, there's either life or death. So you be careful what you said. Not so much what you said, how you said, because words carry spirits, good or bad ones. Okay? Enough for that one, but I told you about this thing before. It's not what you're saying. You can have the right to say what you have to say. It's just who and who you say it to and how you say it. It is how I take it. It's not how you gave it. See? So wisdom. Romans 11:13 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom, the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. How are you going to find out his wisdom? He says, ask me. No reason. Satan faced with reason. Eve in the garden. You can go back there. He says, Satan says, hey, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hey, this will make you wise. That's the word he used. He imparted preaching wisdom. But the wisdom he was preaching was based on reasoning. Good, bad, experience. And you will be just like God. You can make your own mind. You can be your own God. Because that's what it means. You can be like God. You know what people today, they reject God? Because they want to be in control. They don't want nobody to tell them what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I got my rights. My God, I'm going to do it this way. Well, they don't believe in God. They cannot use that word. Unless they're referring to themselves. That's all it is. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because he wants to be in control. He wants to be the God of his own life. And I know where that's going to get him. Don't lean to your own understanding. Because at the end is what? Death, that's all man can produce. That's all Satan can produce. Not only that, but the Bible says, taking captives every imagination, every wisdom of the world, toss it out. If it is against the word of God, toss it out. Unsearchable. So how are you going to find this wisdom? Well, he said, ask. Well, who's going to receive it? Let's go to the next one. This is what Brother Brown said. Next quote. Now, questions and answer. Low and having a shadow. Now, but oh no, they are not lost. They are saved. Certainly they are. Now, sanctification is the same work of grace. or the same grace that saved you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. So it is the Holy Spirit all along. All three. Perfect work. Justification, sanctification is all the Holy Spirit. But that is a portion. Salvation is based on justification. That's the work of salvation. But that is just the beginning. It's a portion. You cannot stay there. Some do. The Lutheran says by faith, you know, by justification, shall, you know, the righteous will live. But that was not the only thing. He says there's a greater portion of the Holy Spirit still yet to come. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the completion of the Holy Spirit taking up his abode. You know, God is making his place, his abode. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not in you yet. I mean, you believe it into. If you got justified, you are sanctified, you're going. That's a way. But don't stay there. Go all the way. Let him abide in you and manifest the what? The gift. Speaking with tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Gift and powers. Wisdom. So yes, wisdom comes with the Holy Ghost. So do you want to know how to get the Holy Ghost? I mean, how to get wisdom? Get the Holy Ghost. That is the beginning. Knowledge and understanding of what? Of his word. So wisdom, you take the knowledge and you take experience and you produce an understanding. That's what wisdom do for you. That's what some of these young people, and I'm talking about you young people, don't have wisdom yet. Okay, it's a lot of things going on in their life. What do they know about marrying? What do they know about taking care of a child? What do they know about parenting? What do they know about sexual and sex? We can talk about that today, because if we don't talk about it, the devil will tell them. I don't want the Satan to go out there, go to the sex education class. It is my responsibility, according to the word of God, to teach them the ways of the Lord. Not the schools. I know what they're going to teach them, because they don't even have Bibles. They do away with Bibles. They did. So I know what kind of wisdom, condoms and all that stuff. I mean, you need to obtain yourself all these things according to God's word. Keep yourself clean, you know, until you find that one. If we don't talk about this in the pulpit, this is the right place to talk about these things. Maybe 10 years ago, you can't even say the word hell in the pulpit. But what, you want to hear that out there with your friends, with your peers? This is the right place, and you are the right people to be dealing with this thing with your children. This is the pure and holy way to do it. Amen? Yes. It says, the man said last night, where did you get your education for these things? Wow, where did you get all that? You know, they don't teach that in seminaries. You cannot get it by, you know, reading, by memorizing, by knowledge. He says, you come out in great seminaries, and we have never had such of that ever taught in seminaries. Why? Because they don't have no wisdom, the wisdom of God. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost, what do you think they're going to learn? Because that is given by the Holy Ghost. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Yes. That's the only way you can get it done. It has to be the Spirit of wisdom living in you that can pull from him and give it to you. Amen. You will not be able to figure it out. And if you do, tell me how that works. Last time I made a mess out of my life in every choice that I took. I'm not here to talk about me. Let's talk about him. So, that is what wisdom is all about. Drawing from your knowledge of the word of God, your experiences, your information, and then let God put that together for you and tell you this is the choice you need to make. This is the understanding This morning, I'm speaking, you cannot get wisdom, but he can give you the wisdom on what you are hearing. So wisdom is not just simply having intelligence. There's people that are smarter than me. I'm probably the dumbest one here. You're probably smarter than me. I don't know what my IQ is, because they're trying to measure me, and they couldn't. There's nothing to measure my IQ. Not because it's beyond, it's because it's too low. I don't know what my IQ is, and I don't care. I want to know what his IQ is. Wisdom, because he's the one that's going to teach me. And people are going to go, oh, they saw the disciples. Couldn't even write their name. They couldn't even read and write. Peter, an alphabet. I mean, that guy, an alphabet, he didn't know nothing. And they said, my, when they started preaching, you know, and all this, doing all these things in the book of Acts, they said, wow, man, where did this guy learn all this stuff? I mean, we know these guys. We know their mom and dad, and we know who they are. Wow, they have been with Jesus. See? The ability, wisdom, give you the ability to understand the Word of God, and give you the understanding that He wants you to have this morning. So it's not only expectation. See, the Word comes by revelation. God will reveal the Word to you by faith. But if you don't have no wisdom, you come out here the same way you came in. You go out. Why? No understanding. The Bible said that in 2 Timothy 3:7, it says, ever learning. It's not there, brother. It's not there. Oh, it's there. Okay. I tell you, what do I know? Ever learning and never able to come to the what? To the knowledge of what? They have no wisdom, because wisdom is God. They're professing they have God, but they have no wisdom, because what they have is a form. They have made a form of God. It says they made a form of God and denying the power of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom. You know, they deny it. So how can they go to know? So they learn, they know all the tapes, they listen to all the messages, they read the Bible, they read this and that, and never coming to the understanding of what that means in their life and what to do with it. Amen. You don't get wisdom from textbooks. And you don't get knowledge, you know, enough to be wise, you know. And you're not going to get it from me. I'm just being faithful, telling you what the Bible said. Let him tell you what it means. You need some wisdom this morning to know? Just ask for it. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12:8. It says, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. So it's all the gift of the Holy Ghost too. And another, the same Spirit gives message of a special knowledge, you know. But that is all a function of the Holy Ghost in our lives. They are gift. You know, you got gift. There's more than two gifts. This is just two. Wisdom and knowledge. You know, I'm over here because it's a gift of wisdom and knowledge to give you a message of knowledge and wisdom. That's not my knowledge, my wisdom. That is his gift. This pulpit, this office, this position, it comes already equipped with this too, plus healing, you know, to pray for others. Brother Brown said that it doesn't matter who stands back here. If you are called according to his purpose, you are already equipped. If you are called to be a pastor, this pulpit brings that to the position. It wasn't that you brought that. The calling will bring that. So the pastor don't have to worry about, can I pray for the sick? No, it's already part of this. It's equipped to and wisdom, knowledge. Not everybody can preach. Why? Because your calling, whatever calling you have, do not require for you to have wisdom or to bring a message. Now, some of you can have the gift of praying and healing. That's you know, but I'm talking about the calling. A deacon has a calling. You know, he can teach. And he probably could have also a gift of healing, or a gift of help, some of you, or a gift of knowledge, you know, but not to preach. God can use you in any way. And he's the one that gives gift, you know. But the fivefold ministry I'm talking about, we can talk about that tonight a little bit more. The fivefold ministry, when God calls, he equips them for their position. So that's why sometimes we cannot be trying to take somebody else's position. Because if you, even if you call, you cannot suddenly say, I'm going to do this. You don't decide what goes with your calling. He already do that before the foundation. He already said all this. So to one is given through the Spirit message of wisdom, and through another a message of knowledge. But it's one Spirit. Ephesians 1:7, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7, it says, the Father of glory may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and God and revelation in the knowledge of him. God will give you revelation. Revelation is revealing you the word. That's the way it is. That's the way he set it up. We need more revelation today than ever. I cannot even overemphasize that God needs to tell you what this means. He wrote the Bible. And the Spirit will tell you, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, he will take from him and give unto you. See? And that's the way it goes. And he will give you the wisdom so you can understand what the revelation means. A lot of people has a lot of revelation, you know, but they don't have any understanding of the revelation. What good it is to be so revelated if you don't have a wisdom to know what to do with that. Over-revelated in this message. And doing the things they're doing. I'm not questioning the revelation. I question your wisdom or their wisdom to know what to do. The understanding that comes only from God. I'm not saying not to read books and not to listen at the messages and everything. You need all that. But you also need to have wisdom. Ephesians. See, asking God to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. So when you can might grow in knowledge. In what knowledge? In the knowledge of God. That's the reason we are here. We're imparting you. We're equipping you. We're giving you knowledge. We're giving you, you know, all these things so the Spirit of God can take you and give you the understanding so you grow to be the perfect man and woman. Perfect is who? Jesus Christ. Maturity is a progression. And you need wisdom every step of the way until you get to being perfect. That is what we want, maturity. And what is maturity? The capstone. What is the capstone? Jesus Christ. He is our goal. He is my mind. That's what I want to get to. I want to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to walk like him. It requires some wisdom on what you know. Young people, that's what I said. I was trying to tell you the other day. Man, my mouth is dry today. Okay. My lips are salty. Why are you looking at me? Staring at me. It's good, though. What is good? Young people, you read a lot of books. You go to school. You have knowledge. But you still don't have no wisdom about life. You need to listen at your fathers and your mother. Why? They've already been through that. And you know what's the beginning of wisdom? Obedience. You don't get no simpler than that. The beginning of wisdom is fear to who? What is that? Wisdom. Respect to who? To your parents. They've already been through that. You don't need to spin the wheel again. I told my father one time when I left home, I'm sorry that you want me to live by your experiences. I kind of had to have my own. Sorry, that was the sorriest thing that I ever said in my life. I paid for that. Found myself in a war, found myself in situations that, man, why? Oh, don't tell me about your experience, that was you and that's all, and what do you know what I'm going through, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new. In Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under, below, whatever, heavens. So there's nothing that you can come up that you're going to surprise God with, or me, or anybody. In the core of human, you know, the heart, man has never changed. Oh, but I have an iPad. I'm not talking about that. I didn't have one. There wasn't even phones when I was growing up. We were using drums still to communicate. I'm that old. But down there in the core of your heart, we still have not changed. You are the same. The same needs, the same wants, nothing has changed. There's nothing new. You're still craving the same thing I was craving. I don't care if you're just a child today. Why? Nothing changed. Oh, yeah, I give it to you. Technology changed. But that don't change you. You're still acting the same way I was acting when I was your age. There's no difference. With phone or without phone, you're still acting the same way I was acting. Nothing changed. So, young people, your first step, if you want wisdom, is to be obedient. That's all he says. Because you have godly fathers that they want to teach the way. That's their responsibility, to teach you the way that you should go so you will never depart. Well, you might depart. The world will never depart from you. You can never hide from God. You can go anywhere you want to. God is still there with you, waiting until you made that decision. But he will not depart. Those words will go with you wherever you go. You might try to deny it and do whatever you want to, but when you get down in the deepest of deepest and there's nobody else to call on. I was there. I was in the, I mean, you cannot get no lower than a God. So what I did, I just made a knot in the rope. I run out of rope, brother Salinas, so I just hang. That's what you call hanging. I mean, you just hang. I will not give up. I will not give up. That's one of the things, at least my life, I have that is good. We got some good, you know, things in our life, characteristics. You know, we have some good, you know, things. I mean, persistence is a good characteristic. And when you are persistent out there with everybody, with everything else that is not even God, but you are persistent, when you switch over and God bring you to this side, that persistence is still just as good now that it was yet. There are certain things that God put in you that, you know, they're not bad. They're just that we misuse it. That's not the reason God gave it to you. That was not the intention that God gave it to you to use them. That is the only thing, but they're still good. So what happened? You know, I just hang there, you know. I said, well, if you don't do something, I die, but I'm not going to kill myself and throw myself down in the end of the well. I just wait. Something got to happen. Either this thing snaps and I fall, or something had to happen. So I hang and I hang, and finally that day, I was in El Paso. By then, I have already 3 children, so my wife. Yeah, 1 wife, 3 children. Sometimes I get confused and I say 3 wife and 1 child. And you know, sometimes you get, you know, when you get this old, I have excuse. 3 children, 1 wife. And I'm hanging there. And my mom came to visit the grandchildren, not me, the grandchildren that year, that day. And I was going to take her to the airport. And then as I, you know, before, I mean, the guy was dealing with my heart. I mean, all these years. And, you know, I ran away for more than 10 years. I left home when I was almost 19 and I ended in a war that I didn't want to be. And, well, from there, everything went downhill. PTS and the whole work, oh, my God, you don't want to know. It's dark. From there on, it's dark and darker and darker and darker and darker. So I'm just, God, time to deal with me. See, God has a time and a season. And that was the time after I ran all I ran and did what I wanted to do. It was time to stop running. Where to go? I didn't have no more place to go. I did. I try, and then I'm hanging there, and I asked my mom, you know, that night before I took her to the airport, I said, Mom, you know, that was me trying to figure things out. Mom, how do you know you're going to the right church? How do you know you got the right? I mean, what church has the truth? I mean, that's, you know, the reasoning. My mom couldn't answer that. She said, Mijo, you just need to. Son, you just need to. You just need to get Christ. You know, good advice. She always gave me the same advice. It's simple. Get him. So I was just there. I didn't know what to do. I mean, that crossroads of my life, 30 years old, wasted 10 years, looking at 10 years ahead and said, I cannot go 10 more years the way I just not possible. Something got to change. But if you don't do nothing and you keep doing the same thing the same way every day, insanity, nothing is going to change. You got to get out of order, Brother Brown says, a little bit only so some changes can happen. But if you come to church the same way all the time and doing the same things, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing is going to change. It only change. You got to make it happen. You got to make a decision. I had to make a decision. If no, I would go the same way. So I decided, I said, well, okay. I tried everything already, so I can try him, and if he don't lie, if he don't take me, then, you know, Satan is right there to take me back. I mean, I won't lose anything. I can always go back. I didn't want to, but. So, I took my mom to the airport. It was about 12 o'clock. And coming back, I was just sobbing. I was just crying. I don't know what's going on. My life was going to shambles, and I could not get things through my head. And I don't know. God is dealing with me, and I just cried and cried, and I had to stop the car and got home. My wife probably was asleep. She don't even know this story. The first time she listened to me, and I did this for a reason. I never talked my wife a lot of things that was happening in my life. Even when I was in the army and I was going through my PTS and all this, I just didn't want to scare her and the children. So I dealt with it the best way I could. I just swallowed my whatever and I kept on going. I didn't want to scare her. Suicidal tendency. Yeah, PTS has everything. Killing somebody else. They killed their father. I didn't want to scare her. You know. So anyway, I'm at the end of my day and I just don't know what else to do. So I just got home and went to sleep. I got up the next morning and things had changed. Don't ask me to explain you. It was a Sunday morning. And I said, I'm going to church. Wow. Something changed. I haven't been in church for years. Yeah. So I didn't tell them my wife. Not, I mean, you know, this is, I just got in the car, got dressed up, went to look for church. It was a little bit too late. I don't even know what time. I've been in church for years. I don't know what time they started and ended. I said, I'm going. So I found a few, but I was looking for something. You know, the same one that brought me to that point had to do the rest. I don't know. So I'm going, and I found a church finally, but it was too late. It was full of cars, and I figured, you know, I cannot walk in there. Everybody's going to go like this, and I'm going to be ashamed. And, you know, I said, okay, I took the times. Next Sunday I'll be here. Early enough so I can take my place. Well, I wasn't even early enough yet because the next Sunday I got up by myself. I have not said nothing to my wife. You know, sometimes you men, you're going to have to take charge. You're going to have to trust the God's Spirit to give you the wisdom to take charge of your homes. Let me finish my story because then I get out of there. This story was not in my... So anyway... So I, you know, when the next Sunday I went and I got in there and it was full already, you know. I thought, you know, you come on time, it's on time, 10, but people there half hour before, they're already full, you know, and they didn't know the message, but they were full. So I sat in the last pew. It was full. I was sat in the last pew. There was a little place. No, I didn't even know who walked in. The deacons was in the back. They saw me. They're checking me out. They, you know, they're keeping an eye on me. They don't know who is this guy. you know, tall, dark, and handsome. Well, walking in church, sat down. Don't ask me what was preached. I didn't care. Not I'm being mean or disrespectful. I only had one thing in my heart. I've been in church. I was born in church. For 20 years before I left, I was given the gospel, the instructions. I didn't need no more instructions. I didn't need no more Bibles. I didn't need no more translations. I didn't need no more dogmas. I didn't need no more doctrine. I just needed Christ in my life. So I'm sitting there and I'm glad that he only spent half hour for me. You know, those pastors that don't preach no more than that. Not making any excuse for me, you know. That's the way it is. So, finally he finished. I said, I didn't have to make an invitation. I just ran to the front. I knew what to do. I was already trained. I'd seen it. So it was a bang. I just got nailed down there. Had a little steps like this. Nailed down. Everybody probably, I didn't care. I didn't look. Probably everybody was, my eyes was all the way in my back. I don't care. Who is this guy? Where he came from? What he's doing here? I don't care. Just walk out there and kneel down. Finally, one of the deacons come and kneel next to me. And he says, son, I said, okay. He says, what do you want? Well, I says, you know, I don't need salvation, so don't explain me about Christ and stuff. I already know all that and all the teachings. I grew up in church. My grandmother taught me all the stories. I knew everything that I needed to know. I said, I came here to rededicate my life to the Lord. You know, I already knew what I wanted to do. I came here to give my life back. I'm home. Sorry. I'm home. I want to come home. And I did. Everything changed from there. Now you see what I am. So, I stayed in that church for about 6 years. I went from sitting in the pew to being in the pulpit, just like here. God gave me some gifts. I didn't have to fight for them. I just said, and God made a way for me. Became the pastor right hand, just like here. I did it exactly. I haven't done anything. I haven't tried anything. I just find myself doing these things. Why? There's a gift of wisdom and knowledge. So, anyway, what I was at. I don't know. Young people, obey. Obey your parents. That is your beginning of your wisdom. You want wisdom and you really believe and you believe me, you believe the word, that's how you get it. Maybe you don't understand. I don't understand God and all the decisions that he makes. You don't have to. You know that your parent has the best interest. It's you. They love you. They're not going to send you the bad road or for destructions. They want the best for you. So, wife, children, obey your fathers. Wives, submit to your husbands. You want wisdom? That's what the Bible says. Let's go to Proverbs because you guys are looking at me like, I'm going to read it to you because I guess I have to. Let's go to Proverbs. I don't have it on my notes. This is off my notes completely. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Help me, Jude, somewhere. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. I guess I can look. Okay. 2. Next. To know wisdom and instructions. That's why you came. You came to get instructions. To perceive the words of understanding. That's what the whole thing is, the book of Proverbs. Wisdom. You need wisdom to know what to do with the instructions. To make a judgment call. To make a choice. I mean, a choice that is right choice, not just the choice. Next, to give to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand Proverbs and the interpretation, the word of the wise and the dark sayings. Okay, that's good enough, brother. Now, young people, I said that you don't have wisdom yet. You have some wisdom for certain things. Life is more complex than what you think it is. And you don't have the wisdom. You don't know anything about marriage. You don't know about parenting. You don't know about drugs, or at least not now. Yeah, you don't know anything. You're not smart. You're not street smart like some of these kids are there. So what do? You rely on your parents, right? So, for their wisdom. So what happened, your people? You can have wisdom at your level, you know. You can ask God to give you wisdom to obey your parent. And then they will take you further. So, I'm trying to see if I want to go that way. Anyway, let me read this verse here. I mean, this Brother Branham says, because I want to bring this in. No, go back down. I mean, go back to the other verse. Okay, right here. Okay, wisdom and experience. Because I need to add this before I can continue. Because we need to understand this. Experience is not bad. You know, you had to have experience. Okay? Experience is the same concept of wisdom and experience is the same concept of faith with action. If faith has no action, there's no faith. If wisdom has no experience, there's no what? There's no wisdom in it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also knowing that tribulation works patience. Now, when we started this thing in James 1:5, if you read the few verses before, the thought that Paul brought was trials. See, you will have trials. You will have trials. And then he started saying trials, in tribulations, in tests. You need to have wisdom how to handle all that. That's what Paul was. But that is good for everything else. Not only, that concept is not only on trials. That concept is good for the rest of your life in everything that you do, that you are choosing the right things in the right way. You have to have wisdom. But here, at least, it's trials. Now, in the Jewish community, they had a wisdom, you know, based on traditions. And they give the kids the advice. Parents will give them advice based on the wisdom of the traditions. You know what? That's fine. America, we have a lot of traditions and a lot of wisdom. But you know what? That's not what I'm looking for. I want the wisdom of God, not of the tradition. I'm not saying they're bad. Listen, you got to go to work. I don't understand that. You need wisdom. You need the ability to know what you're doing, how you're doing it. You salesman, you engineer, whatever you have, you need the wisdom. You need the knowledge. You need the training. You need the everything to do your job, to have the ability to do what you got to do. That has nothing to do with God. You don't find God through that. But you need it. You need to work. You need to provide. You go to school the same way. You need to read. You need to write. You need to be a good taxpayer citizen. And thank you for paying my Social Security. Somebody has to. I paid somebody. Will need money for you? I don't know. Have some wisdom when you get there. I don't know if it will be money. They say, well, forget about that. That's not what I want to talk about. I understand that, wisdom. You need worldly wisdom in that sense. You got to do your job. You got to provide. You got to make decision. Mom, what are we eating today? That's decision time. Huh? Okay. What school to take the kids? Oh, are we going to school them at home? It's a lot of choices. But I'm not talking about those choices. Okay, the Jewish community had a lot of wisdom, you know, based on tradition. That's fine. But the wisdom that I'm talking to you is the God's wisdom. Okay? So, not based on traditions. So that's what he's saying. You know, tribulations and in trials. It says patience, work patience. Why? Because you got to wait. You got to wait on the Lord. How long? Abraham waited 25 years. I don't know. It's wisdom to wait. God had to give you the wisdom to wait. Why? Because patience. And patience works what? Experience. You know why we have so many people that are not experienced? Because they want everything microwavable. I want it now. I cannot wait. Because that's the age that we are living. Everything is, what do you want? Oh, yesterday. Good luck. Yeah, that's, you know, even the businessmen, the shrewd businessmen, nothing wrong about them. That wisdom, you know, our president, that guy has a lot of wisdom when it comes to business. He was a shrewd businessman. Politics, you don't have to have it all. You don't need to have it all, but make sure, you know, that you have the wisdom that you need according to the calling and the purpose that you are called and where you go and your goals. But you're not talking about life. Well, he needs to gather himself around with who? Generals, counselors that got wisdom in certain areas. He has no skills when it comes to war. No wisdom. What do you do? You get a powerhouse. Okay, I don't know nothing about that, but this guy's experienced. That general. Hmm? And then he gets some in the economy. I don't know anything about the economy. The only thing I know is to take money. That's all he knows. Make money. But these guys know about the economy. Okay, but that's wisdom. So, but see, that's what they wanted. That's what they put there. And now deal with it. Okay, well, this is not about, you know, the person. Anyway, I'm just trying to show you something. So experience, you know, trial, temptations, affliction, whatever comes to your life every day, you should be patient. You wait on the Lord, on the wisdom of the Lord in your life. That will give you experience. Why? If wisdom has no experience, you have empty wisdom. You ain't got no wisdom to pass out to somebody else. If my dad and my mom are alive. If you passed away, I cannot comfort you. Why? I don't have experience with that. I have never experienced a loss of someone that close. So the only thing I can do is just sit next to you and, you know, be a friend. That's all I can do. Now, somebody that has gone through that can console you. But I can do some of the areas, but not that one. But somebody has had that. That is what you need. Because what happens is you go and you tell someone, oh, I know how you're feeling. That's a lie. Because the first thing they're going to ask you is, did your dad die or your dad? No, it's how do you know how I feel? That's right. I don't have no wisdom on that part, no experience. Experience is needed if you're going to impart any wisdom, huh, Brother Park? Experience. And experience then bring what? Hope. God will not shame you. If you trust him, you patiently, he will give you that you're expecting for according to his word. He will not shame you. Because people are going to say, oh, you got prayed by that, you know, holy roller out there and you are blind and you said that you can see and you're just as blind as a bat. You're just as blind as you was yesterday when you went and got prayed. God will not shame you. I'll tell you that. That guy went a whole week. You know the story. Read all about it. That's what he could do. Sell papers in the corner. Read all about it. Blind can see. Blind. Eyes are open and everybody will look at him, mock him and ridicule and criticize him. He didn't care. Why? He was patiently waiting. He believed it. And he says, I'm not going to be shamed by no one. Not the word of God. Finally, he got to the barber shop that week. You know, that week or 5 days, and they were starting mocking him, you know. Hey, buddy, we heard that you went to that preacher out there, the holy holler, and we heard that he prayed for you and that you can see. Man, that's it. Once he said those words, his eyes came open. Now, see what the God has said now. God will put them to shame. Not you. not for believing this word. You just wait, be patient. And then when that happens, now you have experience. Now you can tell somebody else what it is to have wisdom and patience. Because now you have experienced God, wisdom and in your life. Experience is a requirement. Experience. So, it's the same concept of faith and action. And the same concept of revelation, you have to have faith. The base of revelation is faith. You have to have it. So it's wisdom and experience. Now let me give you an example of wisdom and experience. Whoop, here you go. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to swim. No, let's take driving, because all you guys like driving. I started driving at 14 without a license anyway. In Puerto Rico, you could drive at 14. So, can you imagine you want to drive a car? Of course, not driving somebody crazy, driving a car. I got to be specific. Yeah, some of you have a license to drive people crazy, I know that. So, you want to drive a car? I give you the manual. I want you to read it. I want you to familiarize yourself completely from cover to cover. I want you to go through the samples. I want you to do, get your car box and put a stick and put a, one of those Cracker Jack boxes that has a top that is flat. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, put something in it. And they put a couple of pedals, Anyway, you read it. You know where the blinkers are. You know where everything is at, the pedals. You know how to put it in gear. You know how to go left. You know how to ride. You have all the signal. And you know that car from front to bottom to back. Well, you still have no wisdom. Because I'm going to put you in a car and I say, go. And you're going to go. If it's a standard, I learn learning standards. And then you try to park it, and you're just going to go back. You're going to be crooked. Just because you learn textbook, and you learn everything you want to learn, books, that don't give you any wisdom. You need what? Experience is a good tool to learn some wisdom. See, so you get in the car, and then now you have to have somebody that do what? Impart you someone. Take you and train you and mentor you and take you. All that knowledge is good. Practical, it is not, but it's theory. You got all this theory. That's what I just tell you guys sometimes. Please don't counsel somebody. Don't counsel somebody only on theory. Because that's not a concern. You're going to get in trouble. If you don't know what you're talking about, just keep, your mouth closed and wait on God. Theory is theory, and children do that. Young people do that a lot. They think they know everything. Theory, yes. They probably know more than me, smarter than me. I got a 4-year-old, 2-year-old that tells me how to do my iPad and how to go to places to link here and link there, and I don't know how he knows that. When Isabel was about 2 years old, I gave her my iPad. She wanted to play. And then she left, and then the house, and then I look at my iPad, and she rearranged my whole iPad. Because I had, things here and there. She made folders and named me. And I'm looking, what is my stuff? You, everything is erased. No. And I ask her, how do you know this? Oh, well, I just saw my dad anyway. They learn so quick. So they got that packed down. I unraveled everything. I took everything out of folders. I wanted to see it the way I like to see it. So I took it all out. I learned something. Doing that, I learned something. Because I didn't know how to do that. So, just because you read, just because you hear, just because you memorize, you still need to have experience. That's why I tell young people, now I can tell you, we have experienced a lot of stuff. Now, you want to have the wisdom of an old man, that's what I told you last time you were here. Listen to your parents. Talk to your parents. Not talk to your peers. They just know as much as you know, even less. They have not gone through any experience. They have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of information, but they don't have no experience. That was spring, you know, help you. Spring will help you to have the wisdom. You will not do it again if you do something wrong the first time. Then you at least find out what you did wrong, and you try to find out how to do it right next time. You know, we went through that. Why did you want to go through that again? Just ask mom and dad, what do you do in this situation? I know, sometimes you say, well, what do they know? They know. Maybe they don't know about your iPad, but they know about life. They made the sure mistakes, just like I did. So, let's take, for example, just for the young people again, because I know, I want them to understand this clearly. Solomon, 1 Kings 3:7-9, Solomon was a child. The Bible says in 3:7, 1 Kings 3:7, he was a child when he took over, when David died, and he was supposed to be the next king. He was a child. He didn't know anything about marriage and divorce. Less two women with a baby that they wanted to share, they wanted to take it away. This is a child. What wisdom do he have? In fact, Solomon said, God, I need some wisdom because I don't know my ins or my outs. I had no experience. I don't know what I'm doing. He was right. So what did the Lord do? First King, let's read it. God answered that prayer. He wanted wisdom. So you can be a child, and God can give you wisdom. If it's God's wisdom, you know, but it has to come from somewhere. You don't have it. But God can give you the wisdom what to do. So you can be a child. You have not experienced anything. The Bible is full. Let me read. Kings, can you get it? That's 1 Kings 3:11-12. And God said unto him, let's go to about 11. 11. 11. Okay. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked these things and hast not asked for thyself long life, you know, give me riches, power, and money. Well, he's still a child. He didn't know what all that was and what he can buy with all that. If he would have known, he would probably, who knows? Anyway, he didn't know. He has not experienced life. He lived in a king, with the king and in the kingdom. I know he knew what riches was about. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that was normal to him, because he never know what poor is. He says, because he has not asked this thing and has not asked for thyself, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemy, but he asked for thyself understanding and discernment of judgment. Now, that we're going to talk about that, because wisdom also means similar to discernment. You need wisdom to discern certain things based on the word of God, based on the knowledge. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. He didn't have to worry about anything. You know, Solomon was the wisest man that ever, besides Jesus, existed till Jesus came along. Because Jesus was the wisdom of God in flesh. So Solomon sits there, and he didn't need to know who baby was. God gave him the wisdom to decide what to do. And he didn't make a decision who the baby was. He didn't have to. He says, let's cut it in half. Half of you. Which one you want, the Lord or the Oprah? You know. And the true mother that has a heart for the child. He says, don't cut it. Give it to her. And then Solomon, with his wisdom that came from God, says, that's the true mother. A true mother love will do that. But who was that? So young people, you can still have wisdom in your life. You know, you need to seek wisdom from God. In every situation you find yourself, if you don't know what to do, do nothing until you hear from God on what to do. You will do the right things. Now, let me throw this in. If you're doing something, and the reason you don't tell mom and dad is because you get in trouble, I don't think you're going to find any wisdom to get out of that one if you don't tell. You know, the reason some people, even grown up, they do things, even in church, let's bring it home anyway. In church, you know, the reason they don't tell the pastor everything, because there's something sneaky about it. If it was clean and pure and holy heart, what can you share with your pastor? You go and then you do something that you don't want to share with your pastor. I'm not saying, you know, what I'm going to cook or what car to buy. I'm not talking about things related to church things. Like what? I don't know. If I give you an idea, you're going to say, I know who you're talking about. Or you're talking about me. You know, I don't want to. That's why I don't want to give you an example. I'm too close to all these things with you guys. I know some of you. You know, not because I want to. I can discern some things. No, I don't. Really, I don't want to know about you. I really, because I had to come to this pulpit. And the less I know, the better it's for me. Because if I call you and it's true, then that's not me. That's God. So the less I know, now don't come to me and say, but I'm not going to tell you, but you cannot help me. You said not to tell you. Listen, please don't take things wrong. We are mature people, right? All I'm saying is, if you want to do something out there in the name of the church or whatever, and you think you got something going on, and if it's the truth, you know, the pastor's here for that, to watch over your life and your souls. You chose to come over here, and if you're not going to go 100%, that's not wisdom. You don't come to a church just to go halfway. Don't come. Why? Why have they said, well, that's my pastor, and had no confidence and had no trust? Not on that, on the office that he's holding. So if you want to do something and involve the church, or involve you, if you have a responsibility in church already, you want to do something now, talk to the pastor. If everything is up and clean. But if not, something is going on when we don't want to do things. Anyway, that's three. So, young people, you will speak to your parents. You know, if you have a pure and clean heart and the love of God in there, then you will tell them. And they will help you. They will not rebuke you. So that is spiritual discernment that we're talking about, and I'm going to go faster because I'm running out of time. Let's get to the spiritual discernment that is the same thing as wisdom. So in 1 Kings 3:9, I read you that God gave David wisdom or discerning heart to govern the people and to distinguish between right and wrong. See, so he could govern. So the great nation, the great people, you know. So Luke 12:11, that is in my notes. Can we go to spiritual discernment? It says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and out of magistrates and power, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer, what you shall say, because what will be given unto you. Listen, sometimes we want to handle things in our life. We figured it out beforehand. If I get in this situation, I do this. If I get in this situation, I do this. And I'm going to go down, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a peace of my mind. I got the right to do this. And we figured it all out. And when you get there, it's worse than the beginning. Why? Because that's the wisdom of man. You can figure out things. Life is too complex to figure out all the variables that involve. You know, wisdom is a broad understanding, a broad, the whole picture. And you don't have all that. God knows the beginning from the end. So because God knows the beginning from the end, he can make a wise decision. But you can. So we predetermine sometimes, this is what I'm doing beforehand, if this happened, and when... That's fine. Listen, my friend, it is good to plan. It is good to plan. But when you get there, everything is not what you thought about it, then rely on him now, because you cannot rely on your plans any longer. It's nothing wrong to plan. But make sure you got all that in the hands of the Lord. Because I know once you get there, it might change. The whole thing might change. Now you're going to have to rely on the Lord. So might as well have that mindset. So, don't worry what you're saying. Don't worry what you're going to do. God will give you the wisdom, the words that you need, the understanding on that moment, just like Solomon. He didn't know. But at that time, the wisdom comes from what? From God. See? And he will do the same thing with you. See, they brought him to the synagogue, you know, to before the rulers or the authority. Don't worry. Don't defend yourself. Don't try. You know, I will tell you, in that moment, you have to have the patience to wait. Because at that moment, it's not when you want to. It's when God decides at what moment. But if you believe God, that at that moment, whatever that means, it will be there for you. And then you will have experience. Give me 15 minutes. For the Holy Ghost, the next one, Luke 12:12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour that you are to say. That hour, you got the Holy Ghost. In that moment that you need what you need, it will be given to you. Do you believe that? It will teach you at that time what you need to be, what needs to be said. So, some of our faults, you know, is our mouth. We die because we speak before God speaks. And that is our fault, our downfall. Because we have it all figured out. 1 Corinthians 11:29-34. He that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning. They have no wisdom discerning the body, no wisdom to know what's going on. Sometimes people don't have no wisdom in our churches today. We have, we do have, communion. And we don't understand that some people don't have any discernment because they don't come for it. If you know exactly what that means, you come. Because damn if you do, and damn if you don't. So you better have some wisdom. Why? So here is the same thing, concept. They had no discernment about the body. Now let me take this concept someplace else. We have gifts in this body. You know, starting from the pulpit all the way to the back. And some of you have no discernment where those gifts are. And you sit there and you die. And you die in the needs that you have when you have a brother next to you that have a gift that can help you with that. But you cannot discern the body. You need wisdom to discern who got what. Because God put that in there to do what? To help you and help one another. These people went and they had no discernment. They went to eat and they ate before and they ate. They think this was just a potluck thing. They didn't have no concept about what this was all about. Communion, God gave them. Jesus said, do this until. But they didn't know, you eat of my flesh and you can eat, you know, drink my blood. And Jesus said, and eat of my flesh. And 500 of them, they just left them. Yeah, this guy is a vampire. Eat his flesh? No discernment, no wisdom. But Paul and the disciple, Jesus looked at them and said, what do you want to do? You want to live too? Well, we have seen too much already. This message is over, vindicated. We have seen it not only in words, but we have seen it in action. Everything that you speak, it happens. It's vindicated by God, over vindicated. So, who got any vindication? Who are we going to go? Back to the Catholic Church? Back to the, where? You are the only one that have words of life. Everything else is dead. So Peter says, you know what? Even if you want to, where will we go? You know, I stay with this. This is sure. I don't understand, but this is sure. I've seen it work. He makes it work. We had a little prophet that didn't know left from right, up and down, but he made it work. He made this Bible work. Discerning the body, wisdom. So, I'm going to go tonight. I'll explain a little more how this works, but you need to have discernment in the body. There's some people here that can help you because God has put some gifts. Gift of praying, healing, help, government, you know, it's all kind of healing. But this is not like, well, I come to church and I want to hear the word of God. Check,
What about the rest of?
I mean, you, this is a body move. This is not a one-person move. Check, I'm going home. They cannot discern what they have. Then, this is the result of not having the wisdom. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, and among you, and many what? Dead. Sitting here and dying, when we have so many people that can help, if you would discern the body of Christ. So we don't come to church just to check a box. We come to church because there's help. The wisdom of God has been shared abroad, all of you guys, in different ways. We don't have all the measurement of God. Jesus was deity, completely God poured himself in him. But he poured himself in the church. A little bit here, a little bit there. And in all that, he went a little wisdom for this gift, a wisdom here. And you got to discern what that wisdom is, what that gift is. Just as much as the one that, you know, we both have to realize. If I have a need, I need to find out where I can be helped. But the one that is going to help me, it has to be vindicated. So that's wisdom. Okay, let me see. The next page, and I'm running faster, and I'm pulling down, pulling out, or out, down, or in, or I don't know. English is so funny. Okay, the next one, it says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heavens, that it might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting. Remember I told you, we got to reach maturity. It takes wisdom. We're imparting, we're giving you these things. You have to have the wisdom to use it for your own benefit to make that perfection. I cannot make you. I cannot change you. God can change you. For the works of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of one faith. So this is not a one person movement. This is a body. We need each other. And then knowledge of the Son of God. And to the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But speaking the truth in love. Well, that we henceforth be not more children tossed to and fro. No wisdom. The people that have no wisdom, they will be going to and fro. They cannot discern the body. They don't know what's going on. Why did I make this my church? Why did I make this my pastor? Why are here among this group of people? Not just to just enjoy the potlucks, the good time. No more of children tossed and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's what happened. Not stable. The person that had no wisdom is not stable, Paul says. Because they don't know where to stand. Brother Man said, you need to know where you're standing. You're standing on the word. You're standing, but then that's not good enough. You don't have the wisdom to know where you're going to go with that. What direction you going once you know you're standing right? What direction? You got to get some instructions. You got the word. I give you the wisdom. This way we move. Then you don't have two people in church butting your heads or going different directions. But we are going together. The Bible said if two cannot agree, you cannot walk anyway. Because what? There's no wisdom in that. You got to agree in God's word. He said, grow up in... He says... Doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie. See, that's why they are deceived. That we're not stable. That's not God's wisdom. But speaking the truth in all love may grow up into him. Him, all things, the head. That is Christ. See, need to go faster, faster. Let's see what I got. So, a spiritual discernment. One more page I got here. Wisdom is the ability to discern, as we already said, what's good and bad, and to take that and produce a choice. You produce a choice based on knowledge that it will be beneficial and productive to you and everybody else around you. If it's only you, that's fine. I mean, independently, we all are built up, but the body has to need to be built. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For no one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, another the spirit of knowledge. See, the pastor has the gift of wisdom and knowledge and healing that comes with that. But Paul said that many were weak and sickly among them because they cannot discern. Well, I need something, but I get prayed. Let me wait for the next guys to come. The next evangelist. Oh, I like that. You don't understand. The pastor has a gift to praying and healing. You just got to believe that. And that's not something that he just decided. That comes with the office. He might have some other gift. Discerning of dreams. I don't know. He can get more of the gift. But those three gifts, he's already coming equipped with them. Okay. So, there's a connection here between sickness and being wise. See? You know. Do I go to the doctor? Or do I believe God? You have to make a choice. And to make the right choice, you have to have wisdom. Because when you go one way, you don't go to the doctor and say, I don't believe God. That's fine. I help you. I join my faith with yours. But that's not what at the end you wanted, or did not work for you the way, or you don't have no patience, or something happens. Now you want to go to the doctor? Or the other way around. You start with the doctor. You say, doctor, I don't need you anymore. I got faith. I heard this preaching. I'm going. I don't need your medicine. That's not wisdom. Have wisdom. Because that's why people get sicker and sicker. Find out what the balance lies. One more. Quote. Let me read this quote and we're almost done. Quickly. Why it had to be shepherds? He bypassed all the nobles and the land, see? Intellectual people, bypass all the nobles, and was revealed to what? To nobodies. And all the nobles that were decorated with great doctors, divinity, and psychology, and education, and great cathedrals and things, it was all bypassed and revealed to what? To nobody. Meet a nobody. Shake the hands on the guy next to you and tell him, nobody. Mr. Nobody. Nobody. You know, you are nobody for the world, but you are all for God. The wisdom, the infinite wisdom of Almighty God did it. You're not here because you wanted to. You're not here because you run. You're not here because it's because the mercy of God called you to be here. It's all God's wisdom. It's not who run. It's not who wants to. It's who God decides. It says, a mighty God wisdom to make known to them the great message ever was. The Messiah is now on earth. What a wisdom. Now, this is a mouthful. I can preach to you. He's here. Well, I don't see it. Well, open your eyes. No, your spiritual eyes. He came. We're waiting for the going. But he came. And we're going. He's here. And he's there. Cloud only come from God. Could only come from God who knows wisdom. All the wisdom and all the schooling and everything was now laid to waste. And bypassed by the great wisdom of God. I keep repeating that because I wanted to go down deep. All laid to waste. All your education. Or you know how, or your training, and all your degrees, trash. I mean, when it comes to the wisdom of God, you cannot find God with all that. God gave you that for you can communicate in this earth with other and do things, not to find God. You cannot find God with your senses or with your intellect. That's not what that was given to you. For you to work and for you to do the will of God in this earth. Keep repeating that because I want it to go deep. Paul says, everything that I knew, everything that I did, it's all dunk compared to the wisdom of God. Bypass it all to let God's wisdom have the right of way. That God takes the nothing to make the what? The something. God wants to make something. out of you. Okay, you can stand. Conclusion. I want to read this, Brother Branham. Let me have the next one. This is what wisdom will produce. If you have wisdom, it has to be vindicated. It has to... Oop, not that one. That's the last one. I think it's that one. Maybe the next one. No, the other way. The other way. Well, okay. Forget it. I didn't write it down there, so I'm reading that out of my... It says... Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, in every local church, there's 9 spiritual gifts. Discernment, wisdom, discernment, experience, discernment. He said, operating in that church. And they are good praying congregation. And then the pastor, who should be the head of the church with the wisdom of God, to have that church set in order so no fanatism, no nothing takes place wrong, just everything proven purely the Spirit of the Holy Ghost working among the people. Then you got a real church that is an example to all the regions around. A hive where the bees comes, a lovely church. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard Colossians 1:9-15, do not cease to pray for you, Paul says, and the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of the will and wisdom and a spiritual understanding. If this church was going to grow, it needed to have all that. And they can have it just for the asking this morning, that you may walk worthy. Nobody can walk worthy unless you know what he requires and how he wants it. Wisdom do that. Please, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of what? Of God. I don't know. I think we've been here too long. Not this message this morning. Some of you have been in this message long enough. It's too late. The hour's too late. Where do you think we should be at? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience, long suffering, and with joy. Amen. Well, that was the end of this one. Thank you. Took a little bit more than I was intended to, but I needed to finish. Tonight we find out what the Bible says about wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. The New Testament wisdom is the bride. Let's find out what the Bible said, and I'll give you a few examples how it works. Okay? So you have a better understanding when you leave here today what wisdom. You need wisdom. We need wisdom. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for coming and walking among us and talking to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a revelation by this faith, but not only a revelation of what the word says you want, but how to accomplish. It takes wisdom. The understanding of that word. The Bible says that we worship in spirit and truth. We need the truth by revelation, but we also need the spirit that it will tell us and give us an understanding of that word. And that is what so many people miss today. They are eloquent. They got doctor's degree. They got seminary. They got all kind of words. And they can sure tie you up in knots. But they had no wisdom what to do with it. So what happened? They had to make something up. They got to. People are waiting for something. But there's no wisdom in that. That's death. Father, we want to have these words of life. We want life. More than bread itself. More than food. More than water. We want life. And your words are life. Now give us the wisdom to do your will according to your word, your knowledge. So like that, we can make choices and make judgments that are beneficial to us and the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your spirit, and we thank you for your church, your body. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. I need thee. Do you need him today? You need him more today than you needed yesterday? So let's sing that song. I need thee. I don't know what key. Thee, oh, I need thee, the wisdom of God. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.